Wow. Now, see, this is the bad thing about when your preacher's out of town and you get a woman standing up here because she cries. So I brought my Kleenex with me. I want to tell y'all something. In case you didn't know it, God is in the changing business. And He wants to make a change in you today. The Winder family has been such a blessing to our church. Amen. Since they have come. We have had the privilege, my husband has had the privilege of seeing them baptized and grow in the Lord. And I want you to know that if you came here today and you need a change, this is your day. This is your day, because I told you earlier that God has told me there is not a person in this room that He did not handpick to be sitting here. So if you think you got here by accident, you're just wrong. If you think you got here because somebody invited you, well, good for that person that invited you, but I want you to know it's God that brought you. Amen. So the word that He's given me today for you is a word of encouragement. Now, I have a confession to make, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the scripture so you can be turning there. We're going to be looking in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 7, but I want you to turn there. Now, we're going to have it on the screen, but we're going to be camping here, because unlike my husband, see, I can talk about him because he's not here, because he talks about me all the time. The one thing about my husband, he says, we're going to be all over the scripture today. Well, I just got two spots for you. So I want you to find Exodus chapter 3, and it's easy to find because it's the second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And while y'all are looking at that, I want to make sure that everybody has one of these little sheets. Because you see, the confession that I want to make to you today is this. I'm a school teacher by trade, and I have this terrible habit of expecting people to pay attention when I talk. So what I did is I made a handout for you. I made an outline, because here's what I know. Two things. Number one, if you're paying close enough attention to take notes, it'll help you stay on track with us. Number two, this will be a great little reminder for you. Okay, children, you may be dismissed. Thank you very much to Children's Church. Parents, if you are visiting with us today and your child goes to Children's Church, I promise you, you can get them back. They're gonna take them out to the building out here to the left, to the Mitchell Center, and they'll have some time of worship and praise and studying of the Word back there. All right, now, does everybody have this paper? Hold it up if you've got it. Now, where are my preteeners? Preteeners, do you have one of these papers? Because if you don't, I want to give it to you. Do I have somebody that'll help pass these out? Okay, here's the deal, my preteeners. We're fixing to go to camp. I'm taking 20 of them to camp today, and it's about time you start practicing what you're going to be doing at camp. As a matter of fact, as they pass those out, raise your hand if you need one of those outlines. See, you didn't know y'all were going to be in Miss Nix's class 101. My students get this every day. Every day. Somebody said, bless their heart. Thanks a lot. All right, now where are my campers? If you are a camper today, I want you to stand up. If you're leaving with me here in a little bit and you're going to camp, stand up. And everybody, you look around. I want you to see these campers. Give them a hand. All right, now if you are a sponsor, stay standing. Don't sit down. If you're a sponsor that's going with me because you're just crazy enough to go, stand up. All right, that's Misty and Patience. All right, now, what I want to do is I want us to have a prayer for our campers. So y'all stay standing. Preteeners, stand up. Sponsors, stay standing up. And Brother Hal, would you voice a prayer over our campers for us this week, please?
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask Amen. For these children and sponsors that are going to camp, Father, that you would provide safety and protection for them on their journey there
yes.
and on their journey back. But Lord, we pray that while they're at camp, not only would they enjoy a time of fun and fellowship, but they would enjoy an experience with you, Father. I pray Amen. That you would speak to each one of the sponsors and the children, Lord, Father, and that you would make your presence very real to them, Father. And I pray that they would come back with a new understanding of just how much you love them and how much you want to be involved in their lives. Lord, be with those who will be teaching the lessons. Be with those who will be preaching the sermon. Be with those who will be leading the worship, Father. And I pray that they would come back changed.
Amen. trying to wipe my nose while he was doing that, so y'all wouldn't have to see me do it. All right, now, is everybody in Exodus chapter 3? Now, this is, and I'm not going to use the word familiar, but this is a very famous passage of Scripture, especially verses 1 through 6, because this is the passage of the burning bush. This is where Moses was on a hillside. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he was on Mount Horeb, and he was tending sheep for his father-in-law. Now, not a very glorious beginning, right? And he looked over and he saw, well, what do you know? There's a bush and it's on fire. And my goodness, it is not consumed. So he walks over to the bush to see why it's on fire but not being burned up. And he hears the voice of God. And it comes out of the burning bush. Now, sermons and lessons and studies have been taught on those first 6 verses. And that's great because it's worthy of our time and it's worthy of our study. But so often we overlook, why did God come down and speak to Moses in a burning bush? Because you see, it is a miraculous thing that God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. But we cannot forget what God said to Moses. Because listen, you guys, God never does the miraculous just for the sake of miraculous. He never does the miraculous just for the sake of showing off, unless, of course, it's the sunrise. Because I think I love it when God shows off in the sunrise. But he always has a purpose in the miraculous. It's always a purpose for his glory and for our greater good. So we're going to find out what exactly caused God to come down in the burning bush and speak to Moses. Look with me in verse 7. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. If you write in your Bible, I want you to underline that phrase, I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, in your notes, Roman numeral 1 says this, and this is the guts of everything today. I could say this, and we could say amen and go home, but it's so much better, and there's so much more. I'm going to share it all with you. Roman numeral 1, know this, God is concerned about the things that concern you. Write that down. God is concerned about the things that concern you. Now, let me tell you this, too. If you want to personalize it, because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is always personal. The Scripture is always personal. So if you want to mark out the word you and you want to put me, then do it. God is concerned about the things that concern me. And then he says in verse 7, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, Israel. Look at this in your notes. He has indeed. Does anybody know what that word indeed means? It means most certainly. It means absolutely. It means without a doubt. It means surely I have seen. Right. Now, let me tell you the difference between indeed and not indeed. And I'm going to speak to mothers here, but I'm sure that fathers, you are guilty too. All right. Have y'all ever been mamas cooking supper and you have one of yours come in? And they just start doing this. And you're chopping up the onion and you're trying to brown the ground meat and you're going, uh-huh, yeah, that sounds great, have a good time at that, I hope it goes well. And they're thinking, Mama, did you hear anything I was saying? I just told you I was going to go rob a bank. Have a good time, dear. You know, were we listening to our children? Indeed not. But there are times when we are one-on-one with our child. We are looking at them in their face. They are hurting and they are crying. And we are listening intently. And in that moment, if our child has to say, Mama, are you listening? Or Daddy, are you paying attention? We can say, indeed. Without a doubt, surely. So know this. He has indeed, that's that blank there, he has indeed seen your misery. This is the encouragement that we have for you today. God is concerned about the things that concern you. He has indeed seen your misery, that's letter A. He has, letter B, indeed heard your crying. Letter C, he is indeed concerned. He is concerned. And finally, letter D, he has indeed come down to rescue you. See, you're going to be so glad you came to Dolan Baptist Church this morning, because you're going to say, I came to Dolan Church and Jesus came down and he rescued me today. He has come down today to rescue you. How do I know? Because his word says it, and his word is as good as to Moses as it is to us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless God. God is concerned about the things that concern you today. He has indeed seen your misery. He has indeed heard your crying. He is indeed concerned about you, and he has come down to rescue you. Now, there are two things in our lives that cause us to have concerns. And I want to tell you, I'm sharing this because this message came to me several weeks ago when we were at a family gathering. And it is the custom in the Nix family that anytime we're together on a Sunday and we're out of church, that we still honor the word of the Lord. And I knew that I was with some family members that were hurting. And God said, I want you to encourage them with this word. Because I knew that I had some family members that felt like God had abandoned them. They felt like God didn't care about them anymore. And he said, I want you to remind my people that I am concerned about the things that concern them. So here are some things that I know concern us today. I know that there are some people in here that you are concerned about your finances. Oh, now, Becky Jean, what are you doing talking about that? Don't you know we got it all together? Absolutely. I know you do not all have it all together, because I'm real and I live in this world. Some of you are concerned about your finances. Some of you have very real concerns about your health. I know, because I see you walking in here. I see you hurting. I know what's going on in your lives. And I hadn't been reading your mail unless you put it on Facebook. Hallelujah. Thank you sometimes for Facebook, because we know how to pray. Some of you have very real concerns about your health. Know this, God is concerned about your health when your health concerns you. God is concerned about your finances when your finances concern you. Some of you are in here today and you are concerned about your marriage. Your marriage is hanging in the balance. Your marriage has been hurt. Your marriage has been broken. Your marriage vows have been broken. Maybe by you. Woo! Some of you may be sitting here. You're concerned about your marriage because you know you're guilty. Oh, no, they don't like that part. Didn't nobody say amen to that one? Some of you are concerned about your marriage because you have been betrayed. And you just want to hold your marriage together. God is concerned about your marriage because your marriage is concerning you. Some of you are concerned about your children. And I'll just say, you just fill in the blank about that one. You are concerned about your children. Some of you are concerned today for your loved ones who are far away from God. Listen to me. God is concerned about your loved ones because you are concerned about them. Some of you are concerned about your job. Either you're concerned about the one that you have that you don't like because your boss is oppressive. Some of you are concerned about the one that you don't have and you need one. God is concerned about your job today because your job concerns you. Now, there are two things that cause us to be concerned. Letter A, circumstances. Circumstances that arise because we live in a fallen world. You see, not all of our circumstances are our fault. I want you to know that. Sometimes we are caught in the backlash of somebody else's sin. Sometimes we're just caught in the backlash of the fact that we live in a world that is full of sin. Here it is again. We are sometimes concerned with circumstances that arise because we live in a fallen world. Letter B, though. Sometimes we are concerned, and our concerns come from consequences of sin that require repentance. Am I going too fast for y'all? Are y'all following me? Sometimes our concerns are the consequences. This is letter B. The consequences of sin that require repentance. Now, I want to share with you something from my own life. I want to share with you this testimony. You're going to get a peek into the life of the Nix household for both of these examples. And both of these, the situation was similar. The situation was we were concerned about our finances. We've been married 23 years. We've had plenty of time to have concerns about our finances, okay? Now, let me tell you, I don't know if y'all remember, but in about 2008, do y'all remember what happened to the economy in Houston? It tanked. At that time, my husband was working in the field of construction. He was doing heavy dirt construction. Let me tell you, he had done very well. He had done very well in that field, but when the bottom fell out of the construction industry in Houston, he found himself unemployed. And for 18 months, he did not have a job. Now, I don't know about you, but if that doesn't cause you a little bit of sweat about how you're going to make your house payment, well, then y'all just must be superhuman, because I was sweating pretty good. 18 months. Now, listen, my husband had not sinned. Okay, he was not living in sin. We were suffering from the fact that our world is a world of sin. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? Okay, but our concern was very real. But what did I do during that time? What did we do? We were faithful on our knees to confess what we knew to be true about God. God, you are our provider. You are our Jehovah Jireh. Provide for us, God. This concerns us. This concerns our family. Lord, we need you to pour out blessings on us. Bring it in from the east. Bring it in from the west. Bring it in from the north. Bring it in from the south. Lord, we need your provision. And I want you to know, God provided from us. You see, sometimes God will deliver us out of our circumstances, but sometimes he delivers us through them. Are you with me? Sometimes he'll deliver us out. God came here to deliver the Israelites out of their slavery. All right, but sometimes he delivers us through them. Let me tell you what God did as a result of my husband's unemployment. It was during that time that God reminded him of his call to pastor. And at the end of that time, when we had zero dinero, okay, we didn't have any money, God provided a way for him to go back to school and finish his degree. And within a period of 3 years, not only did he finish his bachelor's degree, but he got his master's, which is a miracle in and of itself, just let me tell you. And here we are 4 years later in this wonderful church. God has done a good thing in our lives. So here's what I want you to be encouraged in this. Romans 8:28 says this, and it starts out, "And we know." And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, of those who have been called according to his purpose. You see, he didn't rescue Michael. He didn't rescue our family immediately, boom, out of that situation. But he rescued us through it, brought us into a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Y'all didn't know that this area was flowing with milk and honey. But let me tell you, when you're living and doing where we're living where God wants you to live and doing where God wants you to do, let me tell you, it's a good place to be. It's the only place to be. Now, that was an example for letter A. Let me tell you about letter B. And I'm not going to be telling on my husband here. I'm going to be telling on myself. I want to tell you about a time that we suffered financial difficulties as a consequence of my sin. When we came here in 2010, I had been teaching for 12 years at a school near Houston. And it had been good for a long time, but right there, about the last 4 years, it was not good. As a matter of fact, it was bad. And when we moved here, listen, if I had never seen the inside of a high school building again, it would be too soon for me. And I told my husband, I said, I'm not going to work. Now, some of you that know me, y'all are laughing at that. I said, I'm not going to work. Because you see what I had done, because I got real unhappy in my job there. I had just made other arrangements. You see, I had launched out into this business of my own. I was selling jewelry. How many of you remember when I was selling jewelry when I came here? I tell you what, I felt so bad even approaching somebody. I thought every time I look at them, they think I'm trying to sell them something. And you see, it did not matter that I had entered into this jewelry business after God had clearly told me no. You see, I had prayed about it before I did it. I had even fasted and prayed, and God had told me no, but I just didn't like that answer. So I did it anyway. Please listen to me. I want you to hear this very closely. Sin is simply doing what God has told you not to do and not doing what he has told you to do. You see, we think so often that sin has to be on the world's top 10 list of lying, stealing, cheating, and killing, that if we can exonerate ourselves from that, then we are clear and good to go. Wrong. It is as simple as hearing his voice and saying, thanks, but no thanks. You need to know that. What is the sin in your life today that's not on the top 10 list, but you're simply not doing what God told you to do, or you are simply doing what he told you not to do? If I said that right, I hope I did. So anyway, so we got here, And I was going to do my jewelry business. I was going to work it. I was going to work it hard. And I did, and I did, and I did. And we still could not pay the blooming bills. Do you know why? Because our house in Magnolia would not sell. It wouldn't sell. We couldn't get renters in it. There was nothing happening on it. And I cried out to God, oh, God, 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 you're my Jehovah Jireh. God, please, you are my provider. I trust in you. And you know what he said to me? He said, get a job. My son is laughing at me. He said, get a job. I did not give you permission to say no. Do you understand, Rebecca Jean, that I have a purpose and a plan for you in that school? You are my servant, and I have you in my to serve in that place. You better get on it. That was about the end of November. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It was a bitter pill for me to swallow. I started substituting again. I'd sit there on my conference period, and I would cry and cry, and I would talk to my best friend. She said, Rebecca, would you just suck it up and do what God has told you to do? So finally, I knew it was time for me to be obedient, and I applied for a job. As a matter of fact, I applied for the same job 3 times, and I didn't even know it because the silly computer would say, application did not go through. So I would do it again, and I'd push enter, and it would say, application did not go through. So I'd 3 times I applied for the same job. They called me that afternoon, and by the next day, I was hired. And let me tell you this, that within 3 weeks, our house was rented and is rented to this day to a wonderful family that pays their rent on time, hallelujah, and takes great care of our property. Now, you can give God a hand for that. But listen, I had caused that concern. I was guilty. And it was not until I repented and did what God had told me to do that he delivered us. And let me tell you, his deliverance was boop, lightning fast. And if I had refused, I want you to know this, if I had refused, we would have missed out on a beautiful new daughter that we've added to our family. I would have missed out on the children, the young men and the young women whose lives I get to touch every day where I go to school. Bless God that he called me and I said, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, that sign language for yes. Yes, Lord. So what is it that concerns you today? Here's what I want to ask you. Listen, if it is due to circumstances that are beyond your control and not because of sin in your life, I want to encourage you in this. Press on. Press on. Hold on to the truth of God's word that he will deliver you. He may not deliver you out of it, but he will deliver you through it. And when you come out on the other side, you will find yourself in a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But let me tell you something. If you are concerned and it's because of your sin, then I want to call you, according to the word of God, to repentance today. Because we all have concerns. Put up there Isaiah chapter 42. I did not write this down on your paper, but you can make a note. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 3. Here is a promise of God to you. It says this, but now, this is what the Lord says. Lost my spot. Do not fear. Is that the wrong verse, chapter? Isaiah 42? Keep going. Switch over one more. Go to number 2. Well, I have the wrong chapter. That's okay. I'll read you what I've got because I know it came from the Word. It says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Now see, in this place you could also put your name. This is what the Lord says, he who created you, Casey, he who created you, Tara, he who formed you, Bonnie, he who formed you, Bruce. This is what the Lord says to you, do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Do you know what redeemed means? Rescued. I've rescued you. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. Thank you. I was one chapter off. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I love it. You are mine. Switch it over. And then it says this. When you pass through the waters, do not overlook the little words of the Bible. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk, by the way, is there the word if anywhere in that passage? Nowhere does it say that maybe you might have a little bit of trouble. Nowhere does it say if you walk through the fire. No, it says when. That means it's going to come. It's going to come. But rest in this, ladies and gentlemen. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And Alex can say, amen. And James can say, amen. They have been through the fire, literally, physically. And then he says, for I am, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your, say it. Savior! He is our Savior. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he has come to save you out of your concerns today or through your concerns today, just like he came to save the Israelites in Exodus chapter 3. But before we move on, I want to qualify who he's concerned about today. Now, you got to hold on with me because you're going to think, I don't know what you're saying, where are you going with this, but just sit tight. Look again, and I'm at Roman numeral number 3 at the qualification. Verse 7, back in Exodus chapter 3, says this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of. Who is it? Who is it? My people. Write that down on Roman numeral 3. My people. My people. I have seen the misery of my people, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Let me tell you, if you came in here with concerns that are heavy on your heart and you want the Lord to be concerned about you, you got to be his people. Now, some of you are sitting there and you don't like that because you're thinking, well, what if I'm not? Then let me tell you, he's still concerned about you, but he's concerned about the bigger problem than you have about not being happy in your job. Yep, you see, God's first concern for us, God's first concern for us, it says this, before God can rescue us from the misery of our circumstances, he must first, are you following me? He must first deliver us from the slavery of our sin and make us his own. I'm going to read that again because that's the rest of that Roman numeral 3. Before God can rescue us from the misery of our circumstances, he must first deliver us from the slavery of our sin and make us his own. I want to ask you a question. Are you one of God's people today? Because if you're not, today is the day. Amen. Today is your day. Because you see, you may not know it, but if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are a slave to sin. Because we were all born that way. We were born that way. Thank you very much, Adam and Eve. And you know, I kind of feel sorry for Adam and Eve because they get a lot of flack. But you know what? If it hadn't have been them, 2,600 years later or however many years, wherever we are in the time frame of the world, it'd have been somebody else, wouldn't it? And you know what? See, these Israelites here, these my people, they didn't start out as slaves in Egypt. They didn't start out there. They went over there with 70 people. 70 people, God took them over there, the Israelites, the children of Jacob, okay? There were 70. But you see, God blessed them, and they increased in number. They multiplied greatly, and it wasn't until another Pharaoh rose up to power that didn't know about Joseph and Jacob and the God of Jacob and all that. He's the one that enslaved them. But this current generation here in Exodus chapter 3, all these men and women and children, they were all born slaves. You see, they didn't even know what it was like to be free. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're a slave to sin and you don't have any idea what it's like to be free. But I think that James Winder knows, and he just told you. He just told you how good it feels to be free in Jesus. Amen. Today is your day. Are you one of the people of God? Now, Roman numeral 4, I want us to talk about who the deliverer is. And this is so exciting. And you know, I'm going long. But that's okay because it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Skip with me in Exodus chapter 3 down to verse number 14, and I'll fill you in a little bit. After God told Moses, go and tell the Pharaoh to set my people free, Moses was like, well, what do you think they're going to say when I get there? They're going to want to know who sent me. They're going to want to know by what authority I have to go and say, come and come out of here, come out of this land of slavery. So Moses asked God to tell him, what is his name? What is your name? He wanted to know. And verse 14, and God said to Moses, what is it? I am. Woo! I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So Roman numeral number 4, letter A, I am. I am. But we're going to look at letter B now. Turn in your Bibles. Keep your fingers, put a bookmark, do something there in Exodus chapter 3. But now look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I am. Remember, the name of God, I am. In this chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 31. This is a conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Now, hang on. We're going to turn over about 4 pages to chapter 14. Chapter 14, don't lose that chapter 8, chapter 14. In chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus says about himself, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. If Jesus is the truth, now look back at John chapter 8, and the truth can do what? Set you free. Then how do you get set free? Jesus! There's a great algebraic equation there. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. If Jesus is the truth and the truth sets you free, then Jesus sets you free. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Then they answered him. This is verse 33 back in chapter 8. They answered him, well, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. Now, I just think that's funny. You know, they're supposed to know their history. Do they not know what happened to their people? Do they not know where they were in Exodus chapter 3? We have never been slaves to anybody. And guess where they were in this particular time? Did you know that the Israelites were looking for a Messiah? Messiah means Savior. They were looking for a Messiah, you know why? To deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. They weren't free even then, and I think that's kind of funny. We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. Boy, can we not twist the truth when it's convenient for us. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Have we not learned that word already today? You will be free, most certainly. You will be free without a doubt. You will be free absolutely in Jesus, who can set you free. Now let's find out who this Jesus is. Skip over to verse number 56. 56 of that same chapter. I'll tell you that all through here, there's quite a bit of discourse between Jesus and the religious leaders, and they're arguing about who Jesus is and who Jesus claims that he is. And in verse 56, he says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing this day, my day. He saw it and was glad. Psh, you're not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, tell me, I am. Is that beautiful? Is that beautiful? Who did God say he was in Exodus chapter 3? I am. God was going to use Moses to deliver. He was going to work through Moses to deliver the Israelites out of their land of slavery, out of their captivity. But you see, when it came to us, a proxy wasn't good enough. The I am himself came down to set you free. The I am came down to set you free. Today is your day. Amen. So letter B is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will set you free indeed. So the question I just want to ask you today is this. What concerns you? What did you come in here today burdened with? It doesn't matter what it is. It can be your finances. It can be your marriage. It can be your children. It could be the people that you love that do not know the Lord. Zachary, come on up if you don't mind. But whatever it is that concerns you today concerns the Father. But more than that, if you are still a slave in your sin, he is concerned about the condition of your eternal soul. And the great I am came down himself in the form of Jesus Christ so that you can be set free today. Don't say no to him. Please don't put him off anymore. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. So what I want you to do is I'm going to call you right now. You can stand, you can sit, you can do whatever, but I'm going to call you right now to come down to the altar, and I want you to bring your cares and your concerns to the Lord. The Bible tells us to call upon me, he says, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. He will either deliver you out of your situation, or he will deliver you through it. And then he says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Stand if you would. This is the invitation time. This is the invitation. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, come. Come and cast your cares here. Humble yourself before the Lord so that he may lift you up. If you want to come to the altar and pray, do so. If you want to come and pray with Brother Hal or with Jonathan, pray. Ladies, if you want to come and pray, Sherry's up here to pray with ladies. If you don't want to come and pray with a man, I'll be up here in a minute. But won't you please come? Holy Spirit, Father God, move in this place. Move in this time. Do not let us be proud. Do not let our pride keep us from humbling ourselves before you and being set free in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you and we call upon you now. Please let us respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is power. Every chance.